Welcome to episode 196 of the Grunt Free Press podcast. Much like the website that is the flagship for this fine piece of entertainment, www.gruntfreepress.com. The contents of this particular broadcast may seem a little familiar to say the least, but I assure you this is new. It's just that most of the games are not. I'm Absolute Deicide. That also has not changed. So, I mean, everything even tangentially related to my life is just really one big stagnant piece of stale shit, isn't it? So, I mean, hey, let's go check the mailbag, which you can participate in by sending your questions or comments, suggestions or concerns to podcast@gruntfreepress.com. And yeah, let's see here. Oh, it's empty. What do you know? Just like last week and the week before that and the week before that too. So, I mean, we got episode 200 is just on the horizon, and there's going to be some big changes around here. Big changes. I think I've even said that before multiple times. Yeah, here we are doing the same shit. So, it's just one of those weeks, I guess, one of those days, you know, all about the he said, she said bullshit. You know, you just really want to justify ripping someone's head off. You might even say he did it all for the nookie. Dangerous driving got me in such a bad mood that I reverted back to fucking lyrics from horrible fucking 90s bands to express myself. So, yeah, dangerous driving. So, yeah, I mean, the whole pitch for dangerous driving, which is, you know, it's not a... So it's not a big AAA game or anything. So my expectations weren't phenomenally high or anything. I wasn't expecting anything like spectacular. I wasn't expecting all the bells and whistles and all that shit. But you know, I had heard interviews with the developer for Dangerous Driving on like Game Informer or whatever. And yeah, I mean the guy was the team. I think it was just the one guy, the main director or whatever. They were all super confident that like that, you know, this was it. You know what I mean? This is the game that we wanted to make. Dangerous Driving is going to be like the new Burnout. They knew what they were doing. I mean the people who made Dangerous Driving, you know, the people who worked, a few of them anyway, worked on like Burnout and shit. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole pitch. It's just like, you know, we know what we're, you know, we're fucking, this is pretty much Burnout. This is fucking the revival. And I realized that, yes, I mean, you know, they're trying to sell their game. They're shilling for their own product that they made. That they were, the interview came out, I don't know, like a week or so before the game did, before Dangerous Driving released. So I know what he was doing, obviously, but I'm just like, fucking, just the way he was talking about it, though, just fucking like, well, this guy, it seems like he's got his fucking shit together. I wasn't just talking about specifically Dangerous Driving. He was going on about, oh, all the other racing games have problems, I could fix it this way, and I'm so good, you know what I mean? Like, fucking, I'm so experienced and all this shit. So, yeah, they're not going to say it's fucking garbage, obviously, but the same developers, the same guys who made fucking Danger Zone and Danger Zone 2 before, which was pretty much the crash mode of Burnout. So the whole concept is like, well, you know, Danger Zone is the crash mode, and then Dangerous Driving is the racing, you know. And that, you know, they were said that they were going all out this time, where, you know, he was saying like, oh, we had all the time in the world that we needed to put everything in there, and we were able to polish it up, and they got full online multiplayer because they had, again, a week or two before the game came out, like, oh, the single player is done, like, that's all polished up and shit, you know, that's nailed down. And doing the multiplayer, like, oh, it wasn't a directive given from a publisher or anything. They just felt so confident enough with the core mechanics and how awesome the fucking the game feels, like the driving felt in the game, that they wanted to add the fucking multiplayer on there. So, you know, it's like, oh, no, they can't wait for people to get online and race against each other, and, oh, it's going to be so much fucking fun and shit. Again, shilling, like, just fucking talking up their game, which isn't new, but just the way he's going on about fucking is, oh, no, this is fucking what the perfect game that we want. So, and then, you know, then if you look at the trailers for Dangerous Driving, you know, it is like a sharp and fucking slick looking game. The sense of speed is there. It's real bright. The particle effects and the crashes look like what you remember Burnout looking like. So visually, it does look a hell of a lot better than Danger Zone 2 did, which looked kind of like cheap and just like, you know, simplistic. It wasn't too great to look at. Just fucking, it looks like a low budget game. Kind of like janky looking. So, yeah, you know, it's like hearing this dude, I'm like, oh, they nailed it, right? It's fucking great, because, you know, I was really in the mood for an insanely fast arcade racer, and a couple games I was looking at, too. I mean, I had that game, Grip, has been on my Steam wish list for so long that I'm like, now I'm kind of afraid to buy it. It's fucking like, this game has been in early access for so fucking long. You know what I mean? It's for like years and shit. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to buy it. And it's going to seem like a fucking 4-year-old game, because it, you know, it is, obviously. So yeah, I'd rather buy this fucking new game that's apparently so good. So I start playing Dangerous Driving, and it just feels off. I mean, you start off in like a sedan, just a, you know, regular fucking 4-door car, and there's different like classes, but you unlock the different, you know, the faster cars as you progress. The first few that are unlocked, the first few races that you do are like time trials. You just have to get faster lap times for to earn better medals. And the first race, you'd think, is like, oh, it's going to be just like easy, just pretty much just, you know, gas and brake and just making sure you can fucking drive. It's fucking like whatever. It's starting off. But I was having a hell of a time fucking controlling the fucking car, just in general. It's fucking, I can't fucking keep this thing on the road and shit. I'm like bouncing off of fucking walls. The brakes don't seem to work on it. I can see like the brake lights going off. So it's like, oh, well, left trigger is obviously the fucking brake or whatever, but, it doesn't seem to be, the car doesn't really seem to be slowing down. And, you're supposed to be able to, you're trying to earn boost, you know, like a boost fucking bar is on the bottom. You can earn some of that by, driving dangerously. So there's like an emphasis on, you're supposed to be drifting on all the corners or and shit. So I'm told, or, you know, so I'm fucking, assuming as I'm playing. But there's really, really no good feedback for when you're even, like, drifting. It just says, it'll just say, like, you know, it's around a corner, and it'll say, like, drift, you know, like a pop-up will come up, like, drift 130 meters or something like that. So, it's like, well, it just seems like it just took, like, a normal corner there. Like, it didn't seem like the, you know, the fucking, the back end wasn't sliding out or anything. It just seemed like I fucking took a turn. I was having a hard time even getting, like, bronze medals. You know, I was like, fucking, like, dude, like, this, I don't understand, like, just, like, what I'm doing wrong. Then after a little bit of playing, I'm like, all right, well, I get, like, the trick here. Trick in quotes. It's a shitty trick, really, where they just want you to, like, constantly be using the boost. Like, don't even lay off the fucking whatever, the boost button, like, B or whatever. Just, like, always do that. Which means they want you to always stay in the incoming lane, you know what I mean? And always try to fucking knock other cars off the road and shit. That's fine, I guess, where it's not like I was just, you know, it was in my head. I'm like, well, the boost is obviously like, you know, you want to just conserve that for like the straightaways or whatever. But no, they want you to just constantly be using that. But it's like, yeah, I know, I get it. That's fine. But would be fine if the fucking cars didn't control like garbage, where, you know, it's a real fucking crapshoot of what's going to happen when your car like touches anything else. You know, it's like, all right, well, they want you to, even like traffic and shit, you can, like civilian cars, like not other racers, it's like you can fucking like hit them, knock them around and shit, and that'll earn you some boost too. But yeah, you know, sometimes you'll go up and fucking hit a car from behind, and like sometimes you'll send them like careening off into a fucking guardrail and shit. You know, if it's another racer you're hitting, you get like the slow-mo fucking money shot takedown camera. And then other times, like, you'll do the same thing, it seems like, and just like, oh, your car just fucking explodes and he fucking like dies. Like, there's like no consistency about what the fuck is going on. Like, what's going to completely stop you? What you're just going to like hit and kind of like shunt off of, they call it. You know what I mean? Just kind of like fucking trade paint, and you just fucking like whatever, you'll be fine. And other times, it's just fucking like instant death whenever you fucking touch anything. It's just like random shit. I was even clipping right through guardrails a few times and shit. Then, you know, that costs you like 5 seconds for your car to fucking like reset. And then like, you know, again, if you go with like the higher medals, like, well, the race is just over because this shitty fucking like glitch or this weird fucking handling bullshit. The race is over, you know, the white race. then you, you know, you get the straightforward races against the other cars and just like, oh, holy shit. I mean, you know, it's just fucking like the straight up, like, all right, here's six, whatever, five or six different cars and try to get first place. Yeah. If you want to see some bullshit, old school rubber banding AI, yeah, this is the game for you. If you really miss that, because yeah, it's fucking horrible, real bad. Nothing matters in the race really besides the last mile or two. You can make every other car, every other like racer crash. You can like slam them into the fucking, into the sides and off the fucking roads. You can do that like multiple times during the race, and then you can drive like flawlessly afterwards. Yeah, you can be just like a fucking like maniac just murdering everybody that's in your fucking way. And but then the entire pack of other races was, they'll just be right up your ass near the finish line. I was doing one, you know, they have like the head-to-head races too, which is you versus another car. And I had one where it's fucking like, all right, well, it's not like the car is that much faster than mine. And I, you know, I caught up to him right at the beginning. You know, fucking slam him into a wall, and he's fucking just like nowhere to be seen after that. I'm just like straight up, like I'm not even looking. Like that guy's fucking well past where I am. I think at the checkpoints it was saying I was 20 seconds or something like ahead of him, and I'm just fucking, again, it's like racing flawlessly, just constantly fucking boosting. So like, dude, there's no way that anybody could, you know what I mean? It's fucking like that guy got fucked like at the very beginning when I slammed him into a fucking car, and he's just way back there. And then right at the end of the race, I was like, I see the finish line, and I swear the fucking cunt just fucking whizzes right by me at what had to be, I don't know, like 400 miles an hour, just like completely fucking, you know, big rigs racing quality fucking AI. I'm just fucking like, oh, it's like, oh, there's the fucking, you know, there's the finish line, and it's fucking like, whoop, you can barely fucking see him. Like, he just fucking goes by, like, it's ridiculous. That shit's just fucking like not fun at all. Whereas, you know, it was whatever the fight, it's like Mario Kart. It's like, well, this is, could, might as well just be fucking like random. Like, it doesn't even fucking matter. Pretty bad. I mean, I get the reasoning behind it, so you're not gonna get bored or whatever if you're blowing fucking everybody out of the water. You know, it's fucking just like, oh, well, I'm way ahead. And, or, you know, if you get fucking knocked back where it's fucking like, well, they want you to have a chance to catch up too. Cause, you know, if you're behind, then like, you can see like, oh, all the other cars, you'll round a fucking corner and like, oh, there's four, you know, the other four cars are right there magically. Yeah, they want to give you a chance to, you know, you're not fucking restarting all the races as soon as you make a mistake or something, but yeah, just fucking, so it's such like antiquated, artificial bullshit. Lazy programming, I guess, that comes off, you know, when you're playing it. It's fucking just like, dude, this seems like wicked glitchy. Even once I accepted that, when I'm like, well, this is going to be how it's going to be, you know what I mean? It's how it is. I'm like, yeah, well, I was going to like work with the flow of that and just fucking what it is and what I had to do. And I was, you know, I was still like winning most of the races and shit. And just a couple times it's bullshit, like that fucking one versus one, like shit like that. But I mean, for the most part, it's like, all right, whatever. Yeah, it's fucking still getting golds and platinums and shit. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of figured this out. I'm just fucking like, oh, this fucking race and just go with the flow. And then I was just getting bored with it, just like very quickly. I was getting fucking sick of it. I was going down the list of races I had. I was fucking like, well, you know, I was fucking just trying to finish this off. I had like 20 or so stages in that first list, and you know, I did them all. I get at least fucking gold in all of them. And I'm like, fucking, well, that's the list, I guess. Is that it? You know, is that the game? And I remember Danger Zone, which I played before, where that game was kind of like short on content. I'm like, oh, it's going to be like that. Like, was that the fucking game? Like these 20 races. Then I back out of that list, and then like, it's like, oh, there's like another class below that of like faster cars. And it's fucking like, I'm looking at that. There's five more of those. It was just, you know, probably like 20 races in each category. I'm fucking looking at that. I'm just like, dude, I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to fucking do it. Just the bottom line is I wasn't fucking having fun playing the game. Like, I wasn't having fun fucking racing. So I don't really care if the cars are going to get like faster from there, or it's going to unlock like more tracks or whatever. And just, you know, when the fucking the core driving and the AI is like borderline broken and shit, I'm just fucking like, I don't know, dude, like, fuck this, dude. I'm just not in the mood. So I quit, you know. I'm a quitter. So yeah, don't buy dangerous driving. It's not fun. There's your review. So there's your warning. I actually toyed with writing an actual review for it. I was fucking like, I don't know, dude, this game kind of blows. Like, it's just fucking like one of those things where maybe I should like write like a written review and put it up on the fucking website. But it does deserve the big fucking fuck you, this game sucks. But then I'm like, well, if I was going to do that, then that would mean, you know, I would have to play it more. It's like, then I would have to fucking do the rest of it. And just fucking, I just don't want to. Like, I just don't want it. It's fucking, it's pretty fucking shitty. So, yeah, Fool Me Twice, Three Fields Entertainment, and you're done. Again, it's fucking like Danger Zone 2 and shit. I was like, fucking, like, oh, dude, cool, it's fucking Burnout, but there's, like, no game there, and again, it was still kind of shitty feeling, but it's, at least it was like, ah, whatever, dude, who cares, just, like, crashing the car, you know, crashing cars and causing explosions, like, it's like, ah, whatever, man, all right, but, yeah, this one where it's fucking just, like, focusing on the racing, that's when it really sticks out of, like, this kind of sucks, like, this is pretty bad, so, yeah, next time you hear me say, like, gee, I want to play a game that's kind of like Burnout, just remind me that I own Burnout. I own like fucking like multiple fucking Burnouts and shit. Just, yeah, I should just fucking play the real fucking thing and not like this fucking, like, oh, cool, this is a random arcade fucking racer or whatever. Yeah, it's not good. So yeah, naturally after that, I booted up Trials Rising again. And that proved to be a disappointment as well. So yeah, it's been a fucking fantastic week for me. When I get to the other games I played, and you're wondering why, it's like fucking like, did you already play that? Why are you replaying old games? There you go. So all the fucking other ones I've been playing is fucking, well, these two anyway, have been like, fucking, this sucks. So, yeah, the good news about Trials was, yeah, once I verified the game files, which pretty much reinstalled the entire game, more or less, all of the graphical glitches I was having before were fixed. You know, I was having like the black sky showing up and just glitchy looking and shit. That all got fixed. Like, I just had to re-verify or whatever. So that's good. For whatever reason, my settings still fucking reset every time I launch the game. And every time I quit out of it, it still says the game crashed, but you can't have everything in life, can you? So I'm at the point in Trials Rising where I need to grind to unlock shit that wouldn't be too bad if the game wasn't so fucking convoluted about what you're supposed to do to unlock shit, like, you know what I mean, or to like level up and or whatever you're supposed to be doing. But it is, so I'm looking at the world map, and there's an arena on there that says, it's like, oh, this will unlock after I complete all of the other arenas in the game. And it says, like, you know, we have two of nine or whatever completed, like two of nine arenas completed before, you know, you have to do complete nine of them to unlock this last one. So common sense dictates that I still have many more stages to play. But where are they? Like, where are all these fucking new stages? Like, where are the other arenas? Like, you know, what the fuck? How do I unlock those? They're not even showing up. So, you know, I can see like one or two other arenas that are locked, right? I mean, I can see like, oh, there's two other ones there, but they're also locked. And I think you have to reach a certain level, like an X, like your rider level, like you have to get enough XP to play them, to unlock them. But I'm like, dude, is that it? Like, is this going to be like arenas? Is that all that's going to unlock? Or once I do the arena, are there going to be more stages? Or, like, if that's it, like, if, you know, if they want me to keep playing like the same stages over and over, just to fucking, you know, play shit ad nauseum until I get to the right level I have to be to unlock the shit, and then it's just going to be arena fucking shit from there. It's like, yeah, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like fucking doing that. Because, you know, if there are more stages to unlock, it's like that'd be cool if they were just fucking, you know what I mean? I could see, like, all right, what do I have to, once I hit this level, this is like the arena will unlock, but also these other stages and shit. Like, that'd be cool. At least give me like some incentive to keep playing through. But, you know, I'm just looking like the XP bar is filling up like fucking awfully fucking slowly now. I'm like level, whatever, 50 something or whatever. Before, I'd be like, oh, you do a race, you level up pretty much. But now I'm just fucking like watching that. I'm just replaying the same shit. Just fucking like, well, that XP bar is not even fucking moving barely. And I'm not even sure of the best way to even level up, where you can keep replaying the levels and you'll get like a tiny bit, whatever, you know, a tiny bit of XP, more, you know, if you get like a better metal that you had before you replay. If you had like a silver medal and then like you replay it and it's fucking like, oh, gold medal here is 500 XP or something like that, rather than 100 for just playing it. But I mean, trying to do that, I mean, that involves perfecting each stage, or at least doing a lot better than you did before, and, you know, not crashing, and that takes time. You know, that takes a long time. You're spending on each stage is fucking like resetting and a lot of practice. And then fucking like, well, so, you know, again, you get a better medal. So here's 500 XP rather than the 100 XP you would have just got for just playing through and just doing whatever medal you're going to get and crashing and resetting and just fucking playing through the stage. You get 100, you know? So it's like, well, am I just going to do that? It's not like they give you fucking experience for like resetting, you know what I mean? So you can spend like whatever, half an hour on a stage, just keep trying and trying to get better and better and shit. You're not getting anything until you finish it. So it's like, you know, do you do that, or do you just try to get to the end? Like, I don't know. I honestly don't want to do fucking like either of those. Just, yeah, again, just fucking like, so I'll just keep riding through the stages until you level up to unlock more shit, or, you know, fucking like whatever. It's not because the gameplay isn't good, unlike Dangerous Driving, where it's like, oh, dude, I like trials and shit, like, it's fun, but it's just starting to feel like a grind, and I fucking, like, hate grinds and shit. I just don't want to keep doing the same shit over and over. I hate that shit, and, you know, I hate life, and I hate you, so, I don't want anything to do with any of those things. So, and, you know, and I also have an entire new platform on which to hate people on. So, that's right. As usual, I follow everything that my hero PewDiePie does. And I started streaming on DLive. I'm a real PewDie head. So, yeah, I mean, DLive is just like a streaming service. I had tried using DLive fucking months ago. And I couldn't figure out how to get a fucking stream key to generate or whatever, like how to get the fucking, whatever, the code I needed to plug into Restream or whatever. So it's a little strange how it works, in that it wants you to, basically, you have to set your stream up first, like fucking like whatever game you're going to play, the title and fucking the thumbnail and all that shit. So you have to do that first, and, you know, and then you have to hit like save everything, and then it gives you a key. It's fucking like, well, here's your key or whatever. As opposed to like the other way around on all the other fucking streaming services I've done, it's fucking like, well, here's a key, and you know what I mean? Like, here's your page or whatever, and then you fuck around with everything afterwards and, you know, fuck, see what works and do that shit. But I figured it out eventually. Well, again, I tried doing that before, just like wasn't working. Like, it just wasn't getting a key, so. But yeah, Grunt Free Press is now officially on the blockchain, and I still don't know what that is. And yeah, because I'm using fucking Restream, I'm still using Restream.io. All that really means for me on my end is I just fucking, once I had the key, I just plugged the key into fucking Restream and started streaming there, as well as the other fucking places I already had linked there. So for those keeping track, Who care? I'm now simultaneously streaming games to Twitch, Mixer, YouTube, I think Steam. I don't fucking know. I think I turned something on that does it like automatically. I fucking like no idea about that. And now DLive. So if you want some behind the scenes statistics there, and I know that you do, I just got my monthly streaming report in from Restream. You know, every month or so, I was like, hey, here's how you did, and fucking like here's your whatever. So apparently, I stream more than 95% of other Restream users. So, you know, I'm putting the work in. I'm really, you know, fucking almost full-time job, or not full-time, but probably maybe about 30, 40 hours a week I'd be going. But, yeah, you know, only 5% of other Restream users do it more than me. So, yeah, you know, I think the results speak for themselves, really. You know, I have fucking 4 different fucking windows opened up on my other monitor where I'm watching all that shit, fucking glancing over at the chat for each one of them. You know, all the fucking services, all the, you know, 4 different windows, fucking, you know, again, Twitch, fucking Mixer, YouTube, and DLive, they all have their own fucking windows, and I'm looking at that. And it's usually fucking dead. Nobody's fucking watching, nobody's saying shit, so there you go. You know, that's me being a top 5%er, so the next time somebody says hard work pays off, or it's whatever, 95% preparation, 5% perspiration, however that bullshit saying goes, or, you know, just do what you want and the fucking money will come afterwards, or build it and they will come, or whatever, fucking that field of dreams. Yeah, that's really just, it's all a bunch of horse shit. Everything's fucking faked and rigged, and most of the internet is just full of fucking bots and fucking, you know, nobody fucking cares about you. So you're going to be stuck where you are for the rest of your life, and you'd have a better chance of fucking winning the lottery than making money or even building any kind of audience playing and talking about video games. I've also heard people say, you know, for like podcasting, with, you know, most podcasts don't even make it past 5 episodes or whatever. Like, you know, here we are at fucking episode 200, and I'm still fucking jacking off, fucking talking to myself. So, fuck you. I mean, you might as well kill yourself. I don't know. Again, it's just been a fucking bad week. I'm kind of in a fucking bad mood. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll take some custom medicine that I have here. I got a, you know, this isn't really video game related, but, you know, this is a consumable. This is going to be a consumable, but it is a Consumer Reports show. So, again, I listen to other podcasts, and most of the ones I listen to, they all talk about this amazing product called Blue Chew. So I ordered some here, and we're going to see how this goes. It's supposed to make your dick get hard. And also, you have a lot of fucking Legion of Skanks and fucking Cumtown and Chip. I actually used the Chip Chipperson promo code Chip, if you want 20% off your Blue Chew. This is medicine prescribed by a doctor, so it's got to be good, right? It's Sildenafil 30 milligram chewable tablet. So we're just going to see what happens. I mean, yeah, you know, again, I just fucking listen to all these guys, like, fucking, like, oh, they're doing podcasts, and they're like, oh, it's fucking hilarious, where wouldn't it be funny if we just fucking, you know, took these fucking Blue Chews right now and see what happens? Well, we'd be fucking sitting around fucking podcasting with a boner. That'd be funny. But I'm actually going to do it, just because really I have nothing better to do. We're just going to see what happens. And I realize it's just audio, so you just got to take my word for it. I'm doing it, but yeah, we'll give you updates. We're actually gonna chew it right now. Take a break. Doesn't taste bad. It tastes like candy, but we will see what happens to my dick shortly. I'll take a break. Ugh, kind of a nasty aftertaste, but we'll see. I'll be back.
on you, you'll get out of my way, cause I'm crazy and I'm hurt. Hurt on my shoulder. Going faster. I won't apologize for acting out of line. You see the way I am. You leave anytime you die, cause I'm crazy and I'm hurt. Hurt on my shoulders. Going
So for the record on this Blue Chew experiment, my break was literally like a minute long. I said to check the audio, make sure it was recording. And a minute later, I have to say, first comments are, yeah, that aftertaste fucking stays there for a little bit. Kind of strong, kind of gross. So anyway, again, we're just going to keep going on as if nothing happens. And I'll give you an update on how hard my dick's going, getting. We'll see. Nothing sexier than recording a podcast about video games by yourself. So, I played some Cuphead because, yeah, the theme this week is replaying notoriously difficult games that had DLC released for them. So, the problem with Cuphead was I tried looking on Steam for the DLC for Cuphead, and it wasn't there. So yeah, I vaguely remembered hearing something about it being the DLC being canceled or pulled or something, or maybe I fucking dreamed that up. I don't know. But yeah, you definitely can't fucking buy it. You can't buy the fucking DLC for Cuphead. As far as I can tell, I looked it up. I just don't think it's out yet, which is, it's kind of odd that the game is fucking 3 years old and we're fucking still waiting on DLC that was announced a fucking long time ago, you know. It's strange, and it's strange it's not out, but it's not really that strange because, you know, it is a small fucking studio and the game is all fucking, you know, hand-drawn animation that takes a, you know, it's going to take a long time to fucking produce it. So, I'm curious what's going on with the fucking DLC, like how big is it going to be? And, because again, like 3 years they've been fucking doing this. So I don't know. You'd think they could make like a full blown fucking sequel in that time period. But, what I do know is, you know, maybe it's like a side project and, you know, they're working on fucking the DLC simultaneously with a sequel that they're doing, or like maybe another game entirely. All I know is the most fucking current information I can find for it is it's scheduled to come out in 2019. Like that's the last update they had for the DLC. I think it just fucking, the game just came out on Switch this week too, which, whatever. I mean, we're not going to fucking play it on Switch, but you'd figure it'd be like, oh, maybe they're planning on the DLC being out by now and fucking like, oh, it's the whole edition on Switch, but not the case. So, I started a new game of Cuphead anyway, while I had it on the fucking brain. And yeah, you know, my original save file said I was fucking 94% complete. I'm not quite sure what the last 6% of that is, like what I had left, but you know, I know you can unlock some stuff by doing like pacifist runs and going through the levels, not shooting at anything, but I also remember trying to do that shit and just like getting frustrated by it. And I don't know if some of it, you know, some of like the, yeah, you probably, I think you unlock something if you get like all A's on the levels or whatever. Some of it might be like tied to your grades. So, you know, and how many coins you've collected. But yeah, it'd been a year since I beat it. So yeah, I mean, I just started a fucking new game from fucking scratch, which like I don't even really remember how to play this yet. So, but that said, I mean, Cuphead is a fucking memorable game, both because of how beautiful it is and how tough some of the levels are. So, I mean, like, much like revisiting a Souls game, you might say, you know, there's like certain bosses that you've fought so many times that the patterns are just kind of like in your memory. Like, you know, this is kind of like a part of you. I fucking blasted through the first island and got all the coins there, and you know, I was getting fucking like, you know, whatever, A's and B's and shit. It took a little bit for the controls to come back to me, but man, Cuphead is still a very good game. I don't think it's gonna age at all. Like, you know, it's not gonna, like, a few years from now, you're not gonna look back at it and be like, oh well, you know, it doesn't look that good and whatever, it's not as good as I remember it. Like, it's very you know, it looks like a fucking cartoon, and the gameplay is like the most pure platforming and fucking like boss fights that you can have. So I really do love Cuphead. It's very good. I think when I originally fucking played through it, I was using the item that gives you an extra like hit point, but it makes your attack power weaker. And yeah, I mean, that theoretically balances itself out, but this playthrough here, I'm making like a conscious effort to not use that, like not use like the extra life thing. Just like leave, you know, put something else in the place there. So, you know, whatever. I mean, just make it a little bit more challenging. Force myself to really nail down the patterns and not finish a fucking, you know, level with like one hit point left that I wouldn't otherwise have if I wasn't using that. So yeah, I'm just using like the plain like starting weapon that you have, like the pea shooter. I was just going through with that. It just feels fucking like right that way. Just shoot straight ahead of you and like whatever. It feels really good. And yeah, I'm trying to get all the coins this time. Though at this point, I'm thinking about it now. Like, I don't know why the fuck I didn't just fucking just go back to that original save file and just fucking like go through it and just like start from the beginning. I'm pretty sure like a harder difficulty mode like unlocks after you beat it anyway, and you can replay all the fucking levels anyway. So whatever, noted. I guess what I probably should have done, I don't know why the fuck I started a new game. But yeah, I mean, the one stage that fucking made me wonder if I'm a masochist was that the goddamn fucking honeybee is the one that got me. That's where I get stuck, and I had to fucking try it for almost an hour. That auto-scrolling level is just scrolling up vertically, and the camera is always moving up. And if you let yourself hit the bottom of the screen, you take a hit, and it's not always clear where the fucking bottom is because there's fucking honey obscuring everything, and the platforms that appear are somewhat fucking random. So, you know, you can just get into some shitty situations. I mean, should have said sticky situations. You're at the mercy of whatever attacks the boss, like the queen bee, decides to throw at you. And yes, yeah, so some of them are like super easy to avoid. Like, you know, she'll shoot out these big pink fucking sticky and sweet balls. Speaking of which, no effect yet. Still soft as a slug. So yeah, they don't really do anything. You just keep fucking nailing her, and you know, you have fucking plenty of time to move out of the way when they get close. And then she'll shoot these fucking bullets at you that travel the path of the fucking platforms that you're standing on. And I couldn't fucking figure out any like good strategy there when the fucking bullets are coming, other than fucking dropping down a level when the bullet like passes under you, like right after, just right goes under you, then you fucking drop down, and then you're dealing with the fucking, you know, as you're going down, you're dealing with the fucking the auto scrolling honey death bullshit under you. I feel like I've already fucking covered this because I did extensively when Cuphead came out, but I don't know, just as I'm playing it, dude, I don't know, just fuck that bee, fuck it, because it is two holes, but fuck the bee. So let's move on to something new and interesting instead. Or we can, but they'll do Dark Souls 3. We're going to talk about, damn it, I'm boring. So at least the DLC for Dark Souls 3 is definitely out. And, you know, I definitely haven't played it. So, I mean, that'll be fucking new material to go through, going through the DL. I actually did finish it last night. I just got through all of it. But first, we have to get there. And because it is end game stuff. So it took me about like 25 hours to fucking like play through the other game and be leveled up enough for the painted world, the ashes of Elendriel or whatever. Even though you know, you do get to you can get to the DLC from the Cathedral of the Deep, which is, I mean, that's about a third of the way through the game, the Cathedral. And but I'm like, fucking, like, well, I could just go to the DLC right now. But everything that I saw about it, I'm like, fuck, well, first I want to figure out, like, well, how do I get here? Because the Dark Souls DLC can be a little fucking wonky of how you get there. You have to, like, kill some secret boss and, like, whatever the fuck knows. So, but I was looking up how to, like, access it. Like, pretty much everything said, like, you know, don't bother even going into there until you're around level 80 to, like, 100. So, I mean, like, post Nameless King, really. Remember that fucking guy, Nameless King? So, you will. I've got to say, going through the main game again, I know like the basic layout of the world again, not like memorized, but I recognize it. Seeing it after playing, seeing like the Dark Souls 3 world after playing Sekiro. Man, Dark Souls 3 is such like a dead, like gray game. I know, like, some people latch onto that, and they'll say, like, oh, it's a negative and shit, and it's fucking, like, oh, it's just, like, monotone, like, you know, where are the colors and shit? Oh, this isn't fucking Mario, but it is really fucking bleak and fucking monotone, more than any other fucking Souls-like game. I mean, the just, like, the theme of 3 is just decay, you know, and just, you're a fucking tiny man in a gigantic ruined civilization. You know, there's a ton of just like open unused space. You just feel like you're really out, you know, fucking by yourself. It's the complete opposite of Sekiro, which was just fucking like confusing, you know what I mean? Like it was hard to like comprehend the levels just because of like how dense it was. And then Dark Souls 3 is like the complete opposite, where it's just fucking like agoraphobic and there's fucking like nothing. You're just like in this giant, you know, going up these giant fucking stairs, entering these giant fucking buildings. And it's almost designed to the level of like an Earth Defense Force game, it seems like, where it's fucking like, well, we're just going to make everything fucking really, really fucking big. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, that fucking cathedral is ridiculous. Like, going in there, like, fucking, like, this is a fucking, just the size of, like, the building is just, like, so fucking huge. And, yeah, I have to say that every time I play one of these fucking games, I have to mention this, is fucking, like, once you do, like, learn it, once, like, you know, like, once you get past the hump of fucking, you know, get out of your own head and just fucking just start playing the game. It's, not really that difficult. I mean, yes, this is my fucking fourth or fifth time through, and fucking, like, yeah, I picked what's generally considered the dumb, easy class for dumb people. The knight, where you start off leveled up pretty high and you have like heavy armor and a broadsword and a fucking decent shield and shit. You can pretty much not even switch armor the entire time if you wanted to playing the knight. But yeah, I mean, as I said, it's fucking, I'm like, it's pretty easy for the most part going through. But I say that, but I'm also not the one complaining that the game needs fucking difficulty sliders because my niece's friend is fucking web toes or whatever. That's the beauty of the Souls games. It's as easy or as difficult as you make it for yourself. It's almost like it's an RPG. You know what I mean? Where you can fucking just customize your shit and fucking. They give you fucking plenty of options and plenty of tools. And again, I've gone through it. It was like the fourth or fifth time I'm going through the game, and it's fucking, I'm retarded and I can do it. It's pretty much my understanding. That's my philosophy on difficulty in games. And yeah, I'm not sure if it's because I'm replaying it, but what you consider the really good or challenging content, it seems to be like really, really backloaded. I've heard some grumblings from like the hardcore Souls guys that's fucking like, oh, Dark Souls 3 is just too easy or whatever. There's fucking no good bosses. But mainly what I've been doing, I've been watching this dude on fucking YouTube, Bleeding Bullet. I'm watching him go through it. And, he's one of these guys who's almost exclusively a Souls streamer. That's pretty much all he plays, Souls-like games. And he plays other stuff too, but every time I've ever seen him on, he was playing Dark Souls 1 yesterday and shit. But I don't think, like you were saying, like, he's never even like beaten the game, like ever. Like, he's just a big Souls guy, but he's never finished 3. And yeah, not because it's too hard for him, but I mean, he's way fucking better than I am. I'll say that. Like, he does all the fucking those challenge runs on the first fucking Dark Souls, where it's like, oh, I'm gonna run through and no deaths or fucking soul level 1 or go through like whip only. Shit, I don't have the fucking skill, patience, or time for. As I'm watching him play, just randomly happened to be fucking going through like almost the same time I was, and he's a little bit behind me in the game, and his issue is fucking like, oh, dude, the combat's just fucking R1, R1, R1 to win, you know what I mean? That's fucking like Dark Souls in a nutshell, really. Where he's just fucking attack and block or fucking roll, attack and roll when fucking needed. But I mean, like coming off of Sekiro, where you said like the one sword you were using, which was fucking like that game was pared down from fucking Bloodborne, where you had like, I don't know, like a, what did you have in Bloodborne, like a dozen or so like weapons you could pick from, but that was it. Sekiro is fucking like, this is the one you have, is fucking, that's it. And then doing like Dark Souls 3, it's like, dude, the combat options are fucking like crazy. Like the amount of weapons and shit you can use is fucking like, this is like nuts. Like just how much shit's in there. I mean, like, yeah, if you stick to one weapon, which most people do, I mean, I'm using the fucking butcher knife, +10 butcher knife is all I'm fucking using. But, I mean, like fucking that dude, yeah, but Bleeding Bullet is just for you, just stuck with the starting like knight weapon, the broadsword, and that's it. I think he's using a spell to buff it with fire or something like that. But yeah, so you stick with a weapon and the range and the animations for it, just fucking like attack and fucking roll and learn when it's safe to do which of those, and all of the areas and the bosses you have down pat after. Again, like, it was just, you play through, if it was something to get stuck on, play through it enough to just know all the attack animations and shit. So I mean, like early on in the game, you're just gonna stomp through it. Like, I was having like no problem at all, like the first like quarter of the game, just fucking going through. But then you reach the places that I had trouble with before, which is still a problem for me. It's like the parts that were hard before for me, for whatever reason, is still fucking hard. Like Boreal Valley. It's like, I love the way that place looks, but Yeah, those fucking ghostly elf guys that have the long curved swords and they attack fucking super fast. They still fucking murdered me. That's still one of the fucking hardest areas in the fucking entire game for me. He's getting past those fucking goddamn elves. That run up to the church where there's fucking like three of them in the way and trying to lure just one of them out at a time. But it never fucking works out that way, and you've got fucking one of them hanging back and shooting dark magic at you, and one of them's fucking rushing you down, and I suppose it'd probably be easier just try to fucking like run past them, but I don't know, I'm not fucking that much of a pussy. I like to fucking kill each enemy in the game at least once, so I can really take my time and fucking scour the area and pick shit up. And get whatever they're dropping and possibly do it a couple times if you die and have to go through again just to fucking like, oh, well, I lost my fucking soul somewhere and fucking like whatever. I was trying to get some back so I can level up or whatever. So, yeah, it was a little fucking embarrassing how long it took me to get up those fucking stairs. And again, I was fucking like feeling pretty confident like at first of like, yeah, I was fucking breeze right through the main game, being a fucking pro and all and get to the DLC. But as it turns out, 30 fucking hours later or whatever, it's like, oh no, this is still fucking Dark Souls. This is still some shit that's fucking giving me a problem. It still took me probably over an hour to kill Pontiff Sullivan. And that's pretty fucking demoralizing. I didn't think I'd like steamroll through him like the first try or whatever, but when he just fucking annihilates you in 10 seconds. You get fucking reminded really quick that, every time he fucking hits you, it's fucking like there's going to be like half your fucking health gone, And then you have to do the fucking walk of shame back to him from the fucking like bonfire, like not feeling like you learned anything. Cause it's fucking like, well, I don't know what the fuck is happening. He just fucking killed me in two hits that I didn't even fucking see coming. So, I started having fucking Nam flashbacks walking that fucking back through the gate up the stairs and fucking like, oh man, I've done this a lot of fucking times. But again, comparing this to Sekiro, which might be annoying, I know, but yeah, it was partly the point of replaying it again too. Sekiro is hard, but that oppressive downer atmosphere of Dark Souls, particularly 3, like that wears on you and makes you fucking feel hopeless, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, that's what Sekiro was. Like, Sekiro was fucking like, oh, this is a hard game. Like, fucking Dark Souls is like, man, I am fucking, this is really fucking, like, getting on me just to how fucking, like, depressing and fucking down it is. So, that works, it's just like that. That's what they were going for. That fucking feeling of misery. I thought you were good, Paul, but you're not good. You're just another old dirty birdie. So the pontiff is where it fucking started to sink in of, what exactly I was in for. Where, I'm not a fucking like gay speedrunner. So there's no such thing as fucking, for me, is like rushing to the DLC to get there. Yeah, I still get my fucking ass fucking branded in the Irithyll dungeons a couple of times. The Boreal fucking dancer still fucked me up and shit. Like, yeah, a lot of those bosses too, where a lot of it, they have like a lot of moves at their disposal. So sometimes it seems like complete luck that they do, what they're gonna do if they do like their more of the ones that are easier to fucking read and defend against. You just have like that cycle, like that fucking like run where it's fucking like, all right, dude, a couple of these are gonna fuck me up, and then a couple of them I'm pretty good at fucking like rolling out of the way and like getting a couple hits in. And sometimes you'll just be fucking like lucky, you go in there and they'll do the ones you're good at defending a couple times before they, just in a row so you can fucking like really get in there and do some fucking shit. But then like other times it's just fucking like you go in there, it's just bullshit. It's gonna like get you caught up in some chain that just like destroys you. And either outright kills you or fucking like nearly so. And the second you try to drink some of that sweet fucking Estes, they just finish the job off. It's fucking like, fuck, dude. Like, that was just fucking like bad. And again, a couple of those is fucking just like, I don't know, dude. This is fucking demoralizing. The Nameless King is a perfect example. It's a fucking notoriously difficult, optional boss you have to get to him through like a secret area. not meant to be just a challenge for mere mortals. Before you even get to him, you have to kill that fucking dragon that you can fucking down in like one hit if you know the trick, which I enter the area there, but fucking I felt good about that. I'm like, all right, I remember this. Here's the dragon. I'm not going to fight him. Fucking, I'm going to run up the stairs, climb up the castle, get on the scaffolding, and do a fucking plunging attack to his head. Just fucking that one hit, and he's done. And yeah, I mean, that really built up a false sense of like confidence going in. Like, yeah, that's probably by design, I'm sure. Where it's fucking like, I just fucking like one hit at a boss and shit. And then he go into his fight. The Nameless King, he fucking flies in on his own fucking dragon. And even there, it started like coming back to me of like, all right, I think I remember how to fucking fight this shit. You just stay close to him. If he tries like attacking you with his normal attacks on the dragon, he has like this three swipes of the spear, fucking roll, fucking roll, then fucking aim for the head of the dragon, and then if he fucking rears back and tries breathing fire, like that's when you want to run in close and get at like an angle where you can not get hit by the fire, and you can just get like fucking like, three or four good fucking hits on him right there. And I was like, guys, I'm getting this, I'm doing pretty good. I was even doing enough fucking damage to him to stun him and get a fucking critical hit, the good old butcher knife to the eye routine. I was just like nailing it. I'm just fucking like, dude, this fucking dragon's pretty fucking easy. But then it goes into phase two, and when the king dismounts, he kicked my ass. I mean, there's just no way to even like guess how to like avoid his attacks, and they come out so fucking fast, and they're offbeat. And you can't really do like a counter hit when you would expect a counter hit. So, a lot of like the startup animation to the attacks like look similar to one another and shit. So it's like, dude, this Nameless King's no fucking joke. I mean, like 4 hours, I think it took me to fucking like do him, to get through him. Again, not quite the 7 that it took me for fucking Sekiro's last boss, but again, I've already fucking beaten this guy. maybe like twice or so, whatever, but it wasn't like my first time going through. Like I don't even fucking remember how long it took me the first time doing fucking Nameless King, but fucking 4 hours. So dude, it's still not fucking easy. At least I knew that I had beaten him before, so I had that, like that glimmer of hope in the back of my mind, and it's fucking like, I did it. I can probably do it again. So just to prove it wasn't a fluke, because I did, and fucking onto the DLC, because I earned it. The DLC, you have like two additional levels that are new to me. The Painted World of Elendriel or whatever the fuck. And the Ring City. And I did Painted World first, because you access Ring City at the end of it. So it makes sense. If you go through, I think you can kill like all the, like pretty much if you get to the very end of the game without doing one or the other, like you have like a bonfire to just go into the Ring City, but then you can do like the Painted World, and it just goes like naturally from there to the Ring City. So that's what I did. Two things they both have in common, where the standard enemies are either a fucking nightmare to fight that are almost fucking like mini bosses. It's fucking, you have like armored fucking Vikings and knights and fucking so lots of these fucking just guys that are going to take a lot of fucking damage and shit. And they're going to fucking, it's going to be a pretty long fight, and they're going to fuck you up if they get a couple hits in. They're almost like there to be ran, like for you just to kind of like run past them, you know what I mean? Like not even fight them, it seems like. Because otherwise it's going to be a gauntlet that you got to be fucking running through for no real reason. You know what I mean? It's, you're going to be fucking just fighting for a long time with not much to gain from it. So, yeah, if that, you know, my main fucking weapon, you know, my butcher's knife was fully upgraded. I mean, they do, if you fight like the Vikings and shit and whatever, you know, the fucking knights and all that shit, they will drop like, a lot of like, you know, Titanite shards and chunks and shit. So the DLC is actually fucking like great areas to go to if you want to just get like upgrade materials. You get a lot of them. You know, they're both fucking littered around the world, all kinds of fucking gems and shards and shit. And you can get like three or four like Titanite slabs, I think, that you need to fucking, I mean, that's what you need to get, like, any normal weapon to plus 10. You need the fucking Titanite slabs. So, there's quite a few of them, and fucking, so it's kind of pay to win in a way, you could say. You know, it's pay to fucking get upgrade materials, get those gems and shit. You know, because it's fucking DLC. Yeah, but there's a lot of fucking, like, cool, like, gear and armor and weapons and shit in the DLC, too. Yeah, so yeah, Painted World is it's snowy. It's a callback to the Painted World in the first Dark Souls, but just much bigger and brighter. Lots of wolves in there, giant wolves and fucking little packs of wolves and shit. Trees too that breathe frost at you, and those Vikings with warhammers and axes and shit. And some of those guys have pet wolves too. So a lot of fucking wolves. The place is fucking infested with wolves. The first boss is a giant wolf, and you have to fight giant wolves to even get there. I think they're going for like a Seif thing. Is that the big wolf name from the first game? Like they're trying to like call back to that. But I mean, I think like the wolf that you fight in the Painted World is like on his, like near his grave or something like that. What was what they're going for. But, yeah, the actual boss fight is no fucking Seif. It's just a big fucking dumb wolf who has like a human conjurer with him. and the guy's just fucking like made out of paper. Like all you really have to look out for is, the wolf doing a fucking lunge attack. And as long as you get out of the way of a couple of those, it's pretty fucking easy. That was kind of a disappointing fight there. But yeah, the real battle is the one at the end with Sister Freed. She's a lady with a sickle, which is really not that hard to deal with once you get like her range down. And, you know, she'll turn invisible, kind of like that cat bitch or the elf bitch from the first game. Is kind of like, you know, just every now and then she'll turn invisible and walk around, and if you can catch her before she tries to backstab you, you can get a few good hits and go to town on her there. But you know, she does get stunned. She has like no poise really. She gets stun locked very easily. But if you don't catch her, and fucking it's like, I don't know where the fuck she is, and she's just kind of like, she's going to reappear, and it's not that easy to avoid. She'll fucking backstab the fucking shit out of you. And, you know, all of her attacks just do a good chunk of fucking damage. And but, I mean, you know, not that really that hard. It's not like fucking fighting Lady Butterfly or anything like that. Until her father wakes up in the second phase and starts fucking swinging around a fucking giant bowl full of fire. And yeah, she starts fucking using frost attacks that will frostbite you and fucking, you know, it'll frostbite you at first, then fucking like the crystal shards on the ground fucking explode and it'll juggle you up in the air and shit. And just, yeah, trying to deal with that while her fucking giant father fucking breathes fucking flames and shit. And yeah, she'll fucking start healing both of them if you don't stay on her. So yeah, it's a real fucking cacophony of fucking shit to keep track of. It was area of effect attacks fucking all over the place and fucking fire and ice coming at you. And, yeah, it's not fucking nearly as, it's no like Orstein and small level fucking shit. But yeah, I mean, anytime you've got fucking two people fucking flailing around a fucking room at the same time, it can get pretty fucking chaotic. It can get out of control pretty fast. So, and then it goes to fucking round three, like phase three, where it's back to her, just her by herself. But she has a couple new fucking magic attacks that will fuck your shit up. But, yeah, I mean, it's the same basic moveset really the entire time. The challenge is just really how fucking long just the fight goes on for, where it's just like an endurance contest. A couple missteps, if you take it, that's going to equal a couple fucking Estus flashing in a fucking used down your fucking gullet, and it's fucking just like, you know, you only have like so many, you know what I mean? So it's just like, how do you miss it? It's like you just don't want to make mistakes pretty much for a long fucking fight, which is tough. So yeah, that's a really good one, really good fight. Probably the highlight of what was otherwise kind of like forgettable DLC, where, you know, the painted world was fucking like, oh, it looks pretty cool, but it's just like, again, a lot of like running around fucking empty areas. I think there was a demon fight too. I'm not sure if it was that, if it was in the painted world or the Ring City, but that was pretty good too. Facing like two demons at once, it reminded me a lot of the Demon of Hatred fight in Sekiro, which obviously would draw inspiration from that. But so yeah, that was cool. But then the Ring City, though, I think that's much better. Anyway, visually, it's fucking like crazy. They go fucking full berserk. They have like a blood red sun in the sky, and in the distance, there's endless fucking buildings twisting and curving at fucking like impossible MC Escher angles, and the ground is just fucking all white ash. And at certain points, they make you fucking jump from heights that would otherwise kill you, but you know, they have you land in like these piles of dust from fucking, you know, these long falls, and there'll be like a message on the ground saying, you know, jump, you know, you won't die and shit. And it's fucking like, it's kind of funny. It's the messages people leave like, try jumping, but this is like an actual like in-game developer fucking message of just, you know, just, you know, just go off the ledge, and you know, you go off the ledge, you fucking fall and just fall into, you know, a pile of ash, and you're fine. But again, you either get a lot of like mob enemies that aren't really worth the time to fight, or fucking intimidating, like these fucking over large fucking knights that will give you fucking trouble if you stop and fight them. So again, it's usually just fucking like run around. You're just running a lot. I'm like a bitch. And just fucking, again, you try fighting a couple of them at first, and like, all right, well, again, this is just going to give you fucking Titanite slabs and shit, or Titanite shards. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's not really worth fighting. There's some neat environmental puzzles, though. A couple instances I attributed to Sekiro when I played that. Though this fucking obviously, you know, fucking Dark Souls came first, where, you know, you'll have fucking these sections of ranged enemies that'll be shooting fucking like lightning or bolts or energy bolts at you, and you just have to figure out how to like navigate the safe spots, get over to somewhere safe so you can fucking like get to like whatever the fuck is like shooting at you or whatever, like somebody like controlling that, like a conjurer type thing. You have to like navigate through there and kill them and to make it like safe to explore the area. So, you know, like there's one guy who will summon like a horde of archers that will, the Lord of the Rings fucking looking like phantom archers that just come out of the ground, that they'll almost fucking instantly kill you if you're not in like cover, you know what I mean? So you have to like time it out where you get behind a wall, they fucking like come up from the ground and fire, and they go back down, and then fucking like, all right, now you have time to like jump under a bridge, circle around and take out the fucking black robe dude that's doing it, you know what I mean? And then fucking like, all right, now he's dead and fucking the area is clear and shit. So And then you've got a classic, good old fashioned dragon fight. And by classic, I mean, so hard that I was on the verge of fucking like tears at the time. At certain times playing, I'm just fucking like, this is, it's, I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know if I can fucking, this might be it. Like, this might be, something I just can't do. This might be my breaking point for fucking souls fighting that fucking dragon. He has like so many attacks that you have to look out for. Rule one that I'll give is don't ever attack his hind legs, because he'll fucking like whip his tail around, and that thing is fucking like his tail is fucking like insane range when he fucking attacks with it. It's just like a circle with it, and it's fucking like, it's a lot more distance than you would think it would cover. So he also has an attack where he'll stand up on his stand up straight and just start like vomiting fire below him. And yeah, I fucking couldn't figure that out for the longest time. Like, how to avoid that? Whereas the spread seemed so fucking so wide that it was like impossible to fucking dodge. So the trick is to not even try dodging. Just fucking like run. Like as soon as you see that coming, as soon as you start standing up, just fucking just start running. Because again, where the goal in fucking Sekiro was to train yourself to like stay close to the bosses, this is fucking Dark Souls. So it's like sometimes you have to learn that fucking once an attack starts, the only way you're not going to take damage is to just fucking like sprint in the opposite direction as fast as your fucking hollowed little legs will take you. There are fucking very little windows of opportunity you have with the fucking dragon to get your hits in. One or two fucking swings you can get in there if you're lucky. Then you've got to back off to even keep the fucker like on screen so you can see what the fuck he's doing. You know, keep enough of him on screen that we can see like what attack's coming. Otherwise, you're just kind of like inside of him and just fucking like, what the fuck is going on? He's just like swiping at you and shit. That'll, again, a classic dragon fight. He starts fucking shooting light beams at you that'll take off a good 3/4 of your health or so. So it's basically fucking, it's like, well, if you're getting hit by that fucking beam, it's might be a fucking one hit kill, you know, unless you're fucking like really pounding your Estus to keep yourself at like completely full health. But you don't even really want to do that because you don't want to fucking waste a drop of that shit. So the dragon was rough. Not fucking demon of hatred rough, but just like, you know, the smallest fucking mistake there can just fucking send you like spiraling, contemplating the meaning of life. And the meaning of life is fucking podcasting with a raging heart on. But you know, I gotta say, I'm the blue chew's not doing nothing for me. I'm just fucking still soft. So No fucking demon of hard on. So I have to say, Consumer Reports for Blue Chew. Again, I'm just fucking sitting here. I'm not even fucking, I'm just looking at a fucking paper. So, Blue Chew, I gotta say, let me down so far. If I was trying to fucking bang abroad, not doing nothing for me. Fucking what, like 40 minutes in or so? Oh, I don't know. Let me down, Chip Chipperson. So yeah, the last boss in fucking Painted World isn't really too tough, especially after the fucking like dragon. Just a guy with a sword, child's play after the fucking dragon. I do like how they wrapped up the entire thing though. Like, if you're to do like the DLC at the end, I'm not like a big fucking story or fucking lore guy by any means, but I was getting the sense that there was some fucking finality to it, where you're fighting the last guy at Firelink Shrine, and it's fucking completely covered in ash. And yeah, but when you first get there, there's a withered old king crawling away from the shrine, like talking about like fucking like, oh, you know, our dark souls, they're taking our dark souls and shit. So I mean, they're actually like saying the name of the game, you know what I mean? So when they say the title of something out loud like that, the That's kind of the punctuation on the end of a sentence. You know what I mean? It's fucking, it just feels like the end again. It's fucking just, you're just like in this world of ash. There's the fucking, you know, the main point, you know, the main like hub of all these games is fucking like there, like completely covered in ash and fucking this dead, you know what I mean? Like crawling fucking, crawling kings talking about fucking their dark souls and shit. So, and it just, you know, it just feels like the end of the cycle they're going for. And again, without, I'm not really a story lore guy, but without going into like the nutty fucking fan theories about what the narrative of the Souls games fucking mean on a deeper level, mainly because I don't know or care, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, I'm just fucking like, oh, this is just the way it is, you know, just the cutscenes and fucking, like, looking at, again, like, this shit, this everything covered in ash, just feels like, it feels like the end, you know what I mean? It wouldn't surprise me if they never made, like, another Dark Souls again. Again, I'd love a fucking Dark Souls 4 or whatever, but it just wouldn't fucking surprise me to be like, oh, no, like, that was, like, the planned end anyway. I just feel it in my fucking ashy bones. So, speaking of endings, I think we've come to ours. Gunshot sound. I've got fucking other shit planned for next week, so don't worry. I have packages on the way as we speak. And here's a hint. I'm going to play something that's from the same developer as Dark Souls. So, and it's also set in Japanese mythology. And it's not Sekiro. So, I'll also be playing on a different console, one of the fucking largest, clunkiest consoles ever made, I think. So, take a guess, podcast@gruntfreepress.com to submit your answers, gruntfreepress.com to watch, to see if I fucking spectacularly fucking fail trying to set up a new console. I'm sure it'll be some bullshit. Or it's fucking just like, oh, it's too laggy or some shit. I don't know. I'm hoping it works. Again, I'm like the PlayStation 2 where it's fucking like, this is just kind of too laggy to fucking play on a modern TV. Anyway, yeah, I'm absolute deicide. And even though I finished the DLC, I'm still going to go through and just like, that's kind of what I wanted to see from replaying it. But I'm like, fucking like, well, I'm already to this point in the game, I might as well just fucking finish up Dark Souls 3. Cause yeah, who's going to stop me? You? Yeah, that's what I thought, you fucking faggot.
I'm looking for some help. I need someone to save my ass.